sure you're all very much looking forward to your trip to Eastern Europe, to Presburg and Prague and all the other various Mekoymas HaKadoshim that you'll be going to. I want to speak about Presburg and Prague, a few in your name, a few things that one can think about as you get ready to go. We know Eastern Europe is a very, very big history of all of our Zaydas and Bubbas that we come from Eastern Europe. And you go there today, you can still see Kivurim, which date back many, many hundreds of years. As you'll be going to Presburg, you have the cave of the Maral. Maral mi Prague was born in the year 1763. That's 500 years ago. The Noide Behida was born Tuf Kif Nin Gimel, that is 1753. So we are speaking about Gedolim who lived 500 years ago, 400 years ago, and we still, until today, we are connected to these Gedolim. We have a Shaychus. We learn their Divrei Torah, and we want to understand who they were and what they meant for us. When the State of Israel was founded, so straight away there was a big tug of war between the government and the Chazon Ish and other Gedolim about Yeshiva Bochrim. Do Yeshiva Bochrim have to go into the army? Do they not have to go into the army? And there's a tug of war which unfortunately is still continuing until today. And at the time, the first prime minister, don't we like to mention his name in a Mukim Kodesh, but the first prime minister, Mr. Ben-Gurion, came to visit the Chazon Ish. And he said to the Chazon Ish as follows, I want to ask you a question. We seem to have here a collision course. We've got our country and we need soldiers to defend the country. And you say you need the Bochrim to sit and learn in yeshiva. So they can't be in both places. But who says that we have to give in to you? Perhaps it's you who should be giving in to us. So the Chazon Ish knew who he was dealing with. He's not from Yid, doesn't believe in Torah and mitzvahs. So it doesn't help to say, yeah, but learning Torah, it's a mitzvah that will protect Kaisel. He doesn't understand, unfortunately. So Chazon Ish said to him as follows. There is a Gemara, Masechta Sanhedrin. The Gemara tells us, what's the halacha if you have a very narrow pathway, a narrow road, and there are two wagons coming from opposite directions, and they meet on this narrow path, and there isn't room for one to pass the other. One of the wagons is going to have to reverse and go back, which you can imagine when you have today in a car, you just push the car into reverse, not very difficult. But when you have a horse can't walk backwards. You have to unhitch the horse, turn him around and put him on the other side of the wagon, and it isn't always so easy to do. That's not so easy to turn a wagon around. So which wagon has the right of way? And which wagon doesn't have the right of way and has to go into reverse? Says the Gemara, if one of the wagons is empty and the other wagon is loaded, is full, the wagon which is full has right of way. And the wagon which is empty has to go into reverse and give way. Said the Chazon Ish as follows. You say we're on a collision course and somebody's got to give way. One party's got to give way to the other party. Who has to give way? Says the Chazon Ish, we, those Yidden who keep Torah and mitzvahs, are coming with a full and loaded wagon. We're coming with a wagon which has been going and adding on more and more from Kabbalas HaTorah. We have got a wagon which has got the Nevi'im, we've got the Tanu'im, we've got the Amaru'im, we've got the Rishonim, we've got the Achroinim, we've got the Mishnah, we've got the Gemara, we've got all the Torah is in our wagon. And you? You're coming with your brand new state, which is just about being made. It's a brand new wagon, which is empty, which hasn't yet proven itself. And you say that perhaps we should give way to you? We don't have to give way to you. It's you who are traveling with an empty, unproven wagon who has to give way to us. And I thought to myself that these words of the Chazon Ish is a moedika, moedika, Yisod, and a Moedika lesson about the importance. Why is it so important to travel to the Kavurim of these Gedolim in Eastern Europe? On one hand, of course, yes, you'll all be going to Daven, and that's very important. Klal Yisrael needs Yeshias, Klal Yisrael needs as many Tefillis as Klal Yisrael can get. But that in itself is only half the reason. There's a second reason as well. The reason is to enable us all and all of you to connect, to feel part and parcel. I'm not somebody who's just been born today. I'm not somebody who has no roots. I'm somebody who I date back hundreds of years and thousands of years. And these Gedolim who are buried here, whether it should be the Maral Prague, whether it should be the Noide Yehida, whether it should be the Chasam Sofer, whether it should be all the other Gedolim, the Ramur, the Mashal, and many, many other Gedolim, all of these Gedolim are people who we are connected to and where our Shoirish, where our roots come from. And therefore, we have to realize that we are part and parcel of this movement. We are traveling with a full wagon. We mustn't chas v'shulam be come along and influenced by the goyim to come and trade in our full wagon for their empty wagons. Because the goyim today, we know, they try to entice us. Come on board our train. Come on board our wagons. Look what we've got to offer. And they have all these glittering lights and these flashing lights. Try to entice people. But when you come on board, you see it's just an empty wagon. There's nothing there. And this is what the Chazon Ish said. We are traveling with a full wagon. You can't expect a full wagon to come and give way to an empty wagon who's got nothing. So when you go there, you realize, this is where I come from. I'm proud to be part of Klal Yisrael. I'm proud to be associated with somebody who knows where they're descended from. You go and stop any goy on the street, and you ask a goy in the street, tell me, do you know who your great-great-grandfather was? Your great-great-great-great-grandfather? Which country did he live in? Where was he born? He hasn't got the foggiest idea. We, Baruch Hashem, we are Yidden. We go back from one generation to another generation. One of the great tzaddikim once said as follows. He saw, just then was the invention of the first steam trains. And tzaddikim used to like to learn a lesson from everything they saw. So this tzaddik was walking along the road with his talmidim, and they saw a steam train chugging by. And the tzaddik watched the steam train and he said, you know what lesson we can take out from the steam train? As ein heiser schleppt der sach kalter. You have the locomotive, the steam engine, which is hot. That's the fire inside where the steam comes out. That is what is propelling. That's what's pushing along all the wagons which have no motor, which have no engine. You have one heiser. He pulls along everybody else. This is what Gedolim are for Klal Yisrael. The Gedolim are our engine. They are the ones who give us the energy. They are the ones who propel Klal Yisrael along. And we have to feel connected to the Gedolim in every single generation. And then one is Zoicha, that they carry us along with them as well. So this is the tachlis as well of the trip. Not just merely to daven, but to be connected, to feel part and part of Klal Yisrael, and to be proud of our rich history. While the Goyim, hundreds of years ago, were totally illiterate, backwards, living medieval, very primitive lives, we see how the Gedolim and all the Klalis of that time were cultured, educated, Elach, behaved in a Moedika way. And this is something what we got to learn, that we are less than they are. We know this Yeridus Hadoiris because they were such great people, and we have to try and follow in their footsteps. There are in every generation people who one can say this person is an Odom Godoil. But not every Odom Godoil becomes a Godoil Hadoi. And not every Godoil Hadoi is a Godoil Hadoi for all future generations. There are people who are Godoil Hadoi for their time, their period, their town, their city, their country. But it doesn't mean that they are people who are Godoil Hadoi for all future generations. We know the Mishnah's first mission of us tells us Moshe kibbul Torah miSinai, Imosra leYoshia, Shiel Zakenim, Zakenim leFiim, Nefiim leAnche Knesses Hagdoila. There is what's called a Shalsheles. There's a chain. There's a chain how the Torah is given over. The boy Nishim gave the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu gave it over then to Yoshia. Shibanim gave it over to Zakenim. Zakenim gave it over to Nevi'im. Nevi'im gave it over to the Anshei Knesset Gedoila. And the Rambam writes in his Perush on Mishnayos that even later on there was a chain of the Torah. We know Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi wrote the Mishnah. Rav Ashi wrote the Gemara. And then we have the Rishonim and we have the Achronim. And there is a chain which goes from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu down until this very day. As I said, not every Odom Godoil is a Godoil Hadoi. And not every Godoil Hador is a Godoil for all generations. But those who are in that chain, they are Godoilim for all generations. The Maharal, the Noide Behida, and the Chasam Sofer, and many other Gedolim, they form part of this chain. And the way Klal Yisrael conducts themselves every single day is influenced and is guided by what these Gedolim said. Now, how is it possible to speak about such great Gedolim? We don't even begin to fathom the greatness of Gedolim who lived in our times, and not Gedolim who lived 50 years ago, 100 years ago, 200 years ago. So how can we possibly understand the true greatness of the Maharal Prague, the Noide Behida, Chasam Sofer? It's totally and utterly beyond us. But nevertheless, we know, Chazal tell us, and this is a lushan that you probably have come across, Chai Yehudim Loima, Musai Yagi Masai Lemasai Avoisai. A person is obligated to say, when will my actions reach the actions of my forefathers, Lemasai Avoisai, Avraham, Yitzchak, V'Yaakov? Ask all the Mephoshim. Can we be expected to be like the Ovis HaKadoshim, Avraham, Yitzchak, V'Yaakov? And Zogin the Mephoshim, we're not expected to be like them. But at least have a Negia Ba'alma, to touch, to try and emulate, to try in some small way, each and every one of us in our own way, to copy something which they did. When will my actions touch? Don't expect to be like them, but at least to touch, have something in some type of small comparison. So this is what we have to strive for. The Lublin Rov, Rav Meir Shapiro, wrote a famous mama before the Second World War, and it's very apt for all of you because you're going to Prague and to Presburg. And he wrote an essay which was printed very widely before the war. What's between Prague and Presburg? What's the difference between Prague and Presburg? And in this essay, he writes as follows, that we know, unfortunately, some 250 years ago, was the beginning of the reform of the Maskilim. And they made major, major inroads in Klal Yisrael. Came along the Chasam Sofer, and Chasam Sofer was the one who stood firm, and he was the one who realized that if we want to save Klal Yisrael from the reform, we have to strengthen kehillos. People have to feel a sense of belonging to a kehillah. And a kehillah has to be a group, an organized group, where the kehillah is going to worry about Yiddishkeit and going to ensure everything is going to be done properly, and there's going to be no pashoras whatsoever. Anything is not 100% right. We cannot afford to allow that to happen, because once you give them a finger, they'll end up taking a hand. There's a story from the Chasam Sofer. He had a large yeshiva in Presburg, and some Bukhrim came to the yeshiva straight after Sukkot. They came, they wanted to apply to the yeshiva. The Chasam Sofer was sitting in his house looking out the window, and a group of Bukhrim would just arrive to get a feher to see whether they could join the yeshiva. And as the Chasam Sofer was watching, the schach had been taken off the sukkah and was still sitting there on the floor, on the grass outside. And as the Bukhrim were walking up, so they saw the schach lying there, they all walked around it, except for one particular Bukhra. This Bukhra didn't bother to walk around the schach. He walked straight on the schach and carried on walking into the Chasam Sofer's house. The Chasam Sofer fehed all the Bukhrim, and they knew all of them very well. They were all very matzlich in the feher. This Bukhra who walked on the schach was also very matzlich, did very well. But yet the Chasam Sofer refused this Bukhra. And he said, a Bukhra, he didn't tell this Bukhra, he told afterwards other people, a Bukhra who can walk on the schach straight after Sukkot and didn't bother to walk around, this is a Bukhra who's going to end up trampling Yiddishkeit. He doesn't belong in my yeshiva. Now, you might think to yourself, it's a bit exaggerated. You know, schach after Sukkot, it's no longer schach anymore. In fact, you're allowed to put it in the bin. You have to be careful that you shouldn't treat it but derech bizoyin. Something which is used for a mitzvah, you shouldn't treat it derech bizoyin. So you have to wrap it up or whatever, put it away. Chasam Sofer saw this Bukhra was walking on the schach. He's got no problem in trampling on mitzvahs. This Bukhra is going to trample on Yiddishkeit. So Chasam Sofer didn't allow this Bukhra into the yeshiva. This Bukhra applied to a different yeshiva somewhere else, another very good yeshiva. He learned there in yeshiva for a number of years. And then one day, suddenly out of this blue, the Bukhra went off the derech and became one of the heads of the reform. And people can understand it. This Bukhra be such a gewaltige Bukhra. What went wrong? And then people remembered what the Chasam Sofer had said many years earlier. A Bukhra who walks on the schach will end up trampling on Yiddishkeit. And this is what happened. So the Chasam Sofer was the one who he understood, and he saw very clearly that if you end up being mevazeh mitzvahs, these people will trample and destroy Yiddishkeit. So he stood firm in Presburg and many other places to ensure that the kehillos stay strong and they don't give in even the slightest peshora to the reform, to the maskilim. Because once you start giving in to them, one can never know where it will end. And at the time, there was a big dispute going on, because many people said the things that they are asking is nicht gefährlich, not doing away chashuv with Yiddishkeit, just certain things, making it easier, making it lighter, it's not so hard, it's not so difficult. Chasam Sofer refused to give in. So writes Rav Meir Shapira 150 years later, a Moedika essay, and he writes, 150 years before my time, there was at the time this big controversy, this big debate going on. How do we deal with these more enlightened elements of Klal Yisrael? Do we accept them? Do we give in to them? Or do we stand firm? And there were two schools of thought. There were those who said, you can't be merachik them, because if you merachik them, it's not going to work. The others said, no, that was the Chasam Sofer's derech. You can't afford to give in. If you start giving in, they're going to trample Yiddishkeit. Watch what's going to happen. And each side said they were correct. Right through Meir Shapira, now with hindsight, 150 years later, I can come to the conclusion who was correct. And he writes as follows. On my travels, when I was traveling to collect money for my yeshiva, Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin, I came to Presburg. I arrived in Presburg, and I was shown around the Kehillah. First, they took me to the Beis HaChaim, where the Chasam Sofer is buried, and the other Beis HaChaim, where the Ksav Sofer is buried, and many other Gedolim. And I davened by the Kivurim from all these great Rabbunim. And after this, they said to me, but we want to show you as well the Yiddish Presburg of today, not just the Presburg of the Beis HaChaim. We want to show you the Yiddish Presburg. They took me to the Chasam Sofer's Shir Room, where he used to say Shirim, and I found the Shir Room was packed with Bukhrim, the yeshiva's packed with Bukhrim, all the Buta Medrushim are filled, people davening and learning, and the words of the Chasam Sofer, and the Divrei Torah of the Chasam Sofer, the Ksav Sofer, and all the other Gedolim are still reverberating and being heard the whole time. Said the Chasam Sofer, says the Rabbi Shapira, the next day I travelled to Prague. At 12 o'clock in the afternoon, I took the express train and arrived 9 o'clock in the evening. I arrived in Presburg. There was some Buchel there who came to meet me at the station, and I said to him, I want to see the Yiddish Kehillah of Prague. No problem, said this Buchel. I will show you tomorrow around Prague. The next morning, this Buchel comes to where I was staying, picks me up, and he takes me to the Beis HaChaim, takes me to the cave of the Maralmi Prague, takes me afterwards to the cave of the Noidi Behida, and other Gedolim. So I said to him, very nice, but I want to see now the Yiddish Prague of today. Yeah, I'm going to take you. He takes me to the Shul of the Maralmi Prague, the Alt Neuschil, where you'll probably all go. And I said, that's gewaldig. Now, I want to see the Yiddish Kehillah, the Yidden of Prague. And then the Bucha says to me, I have to confess to you that only 150 from a Yidden today in Prague. And I said to him, I should be 150 from a Yidden? How many Yidden are there living here in Prague? And he says to me, there's 35,000 Yidden, and of which 150 are from. And when this Bucherl saw my face, how taken aback I was, he said, oh, I forgot to show you something else. Look, something very interesting. You see that clock tower over there? Look at the numbers on the clock. It's Aleph base. It's Aleph base numbers on the clock. It's an old clock. As if that would somehow be for me a nechuma. Don't be so upset. Look at this very interesting clock with the Aleph base. So right through Meir Shapira, with hindsight, we can see who was right. The Chasam Sofer, who stood firm. So in the Schiss of the Chasam Sofer, the whole Kehillah of Presburg, and many cities in Hungary, and later on all the Gedolim in Hungary, were Talmidim, the Chasam Sofer, Talmidim of his Talmidim, and so on. And in those places where unfortunately they weren't able to follow the derech of the Chasam Sofer, slowly but surely the Maskilim, the Reform, with all their friends and elements made inroads, and what resulted was out of 35,000 Yidden, only 150 remained from Yidden. So this is something that one has to appreciate and understand. The Chasam Sofer Taka writes a letter in one of his printed and Shiva's Chasam Sofer. How careful one has to be to keep away from people who are not toichoi kebaroi, who they are not what they inside, what they are pretending on the outside. If a person isn't sincere, isn't ehrlich inside himself, writes the Chasam Sofer, kol she'ein doi ve'emes belvovoi, somebody who doesn't speak the truth in his heart, ve'loi ha'yoshe v'hatzedek merkavoi, and he's not guided by honesty and correctness, harchik darkecho mimeni huser raglecho menesivoi, keep far away from this person. Even if he appears to you to be a big Talmud Chochem, but if he's not doiva emes belvovoi, he's not 100% ehrlich and honest and upright, don't have connection with such people. The Chasam Sofer was made about himself that from when he from the day he came to be to Das from his youngest years, it never once even happened in his entire life that he davened a tefillah with a machshava zora. It never once came into his mind. It's mind-boggling, you think about this. He never once ever in his life davened a tefillah, and at the same time, his mind wandered away and he thought about something else. Not once in his life. This was the Madrega of the Chasam Sofer. Something, again, which we cannot begin to understand. Yismach Moshe Taka said after Petir the Chasam Sofer that when the Chasam Sofer used to daven, the Rishonim would come out from Shemayim to accompany the tefillahs of the Chasam Sofer up to the Kisei HaKovod. So when you go to daven by the Kvorim of these Gedolim, the idea is that you should beseech that these Gedolim should be our Shliach Tzibah. They should carry our tefillahs. They should take our tefillahs and go to, in front of the Kisei HaKovod and ask the Rabbeinu Shloilam, please Rabbeinu Shloilam, listen to the tefillahs of those who are davening now by my Kavah. This is what we are trying to achieve. The son of the Chasam Sofer, he had two sons. One was Iksav Sofer, and the second son was Reb Shimon Sofer, who lived in Krakow. And Reb Shimon Sofer used to say as follows. As a young boy, he saw it was written that a person wants to work upon himself and become a big tzaddik. The way is, it's written already in the Rishonim, you have to fast many tanesim, and you have to deprive yourself, cut yourself off from Olam Hazeh. And one day, Reb Shimon Sofer got a message that his father wants to speak to him out of the blue. And he realized somehow that must be in connection to all his tamesim. Probably his mother had noticed that he's not eating his breakfast, lunch and supper every day. And she was concerned. Why is he not eating? So she told the husband, the Chasam Sofer, and the Chasam Sofer summoned him. So Reb Shimon Sofer wasn't taken aback. He came into his father's room carrying a whole pile of sforim. He was going to show his father's written all these sforim that you have to fast so many tanesim and so on and so forth. So he opened his sforim to show his father, and the Chasam Sofer said to him, "You don't need to have any of this. What you should do is," he was a young boy at the time, "when I give my Gemara share, you sit at the back of the room, and when I am giving my share, just look at my face. And if you look at my face, that will cleanse you of everything. You won't need to fast anymore." Just looking at the face of the Chasam Sofer. Zoit the Chasam Sofer gezuk to his son. That's what he told his son. You just look at my face. In fact, the Chasam Sofer's daughter, her name was Simcha. She was the last child of the Chasam Sofer. She was nifted 2-3 years before the Second World War. Simcha Lehman, her name was. She used to say that on the Leil HaSeder, nobody could look the Chasam Sofer in his face, because his face would shine with such an unearthly light. You had to look away. You couldn't look him in the face. So strong was the shine on his face that nobody was able to look the Chasam Sofer in his face. And this was, again, this was one of the many madregas of the Chasam Sofer, which we cannot begin even to understand, to appreciate. The Chasam Sofer said about himself, we know that one of the nisim which took place in the Beis HaMikdash was, all of Klal Yisrael would come, Shulosh Po'um Bashuna, Yeiru Kol Zochech, Pnei Yud Hashem, all of Klal Yisrael would come up, Oile Regel, 3 times a year to the Beis HaMikdash. Now, think about it. How can millions and millions of people possibly fit into the Beis HaMikdash? It's impossible. You know how what big area you need to hold millions of people? You need a few miles long and a few miles wide. Now the Beis HaMikdash, the area we know, you can see today, it is so small, it's not possible. Tells us the mission of us. This was one of the 10 nisim which used to take place in the Beis HaMikdash. Oimdim tzavifim im mishtachavim revochim. Said the Chasam Sofer, Eini rui v'loizo. My own eyes have seen a place in a Chitzlurz where this nace would take place, that many, many people would crowd themselves into a small area. Chamso says, I don't want to say where this was, but I have seen this. And it's written in a number of Sforim that the Chasam Sofer meant his very own shirum. The room where the Chasam Sofer used to give his shir was probably a half the size of this room where we are now. There is actually a picture of the shirum which was taken before the war. The shirum was destroyed in the Second World War. A very small room. How many people can fit in such a room? 50, 60, 70, I don't know. And one knows for a fact the entire yeshiva of the Chasam Sofer, plus many other Talmidei Chachomim and Rabbunim, used to come to hear the Shir of the Chasam Sofer, and many hundreds and hundreds of people would be by the Shir of the Chasam Sofer. And yet, the Shir room of the Chasam Sofer, where he gave the Shir, was a very, very small room. I'm not even sure if it's half the size of this room. Mamish, probably half the size, you can see from the picture. So this is again said the Chasam Sofer, where he was mayed upon himself. And in fact, the Chasam Sofer writes a Moedei Kavod, and that's also important to know. The Sforim of the Chasam Sofer are something which is unbelievable. Unbelievable, whether it should be in Halucha, Ala Torah, whether it should be Hashkofa, Musa, it's unbelievable the Divrei Torah of the Chasam Sofer. Chasam Sofer writes in Parshas Vayetze, we know when Yaakov Avini woke up in the morning, on Ha Hamaria, he said, "Ochen yesh Hashem b'mokem azeh v'noichi lo yedoti." I didn't realize that this is a mokem avashus hashchina. Ochen yesh mokem azeh v'noichi lo yedoti. Asa Chasam Sofer, an obvious question. We know it says in the Torah that Yaakov Avini went the whole way to Churon. When he came to Churon, he said, "Oyvei, ef shavati al mokem shispali avoysai v'lo yispalolti." Could it be I passed by Ha Maria and I forgot to daven there? So he decided he's going to go back. Boy Datalamahad. He wanted to go back. Kofsale Ara. There was the land came to him. So what did Yaakov Avinu said? I didn't realize this is a Yesh Hashem Mokem Hazeh. He did realize. That's the whole reason why he went back. He realized it went past Ha Maria. He'd forgotten to daven there. I better go back to Ha Maria. He started to go back. Ha Maria came towards him. So what did he wake up? Said, Ochen Hashem Yesh Mokem Hazeh. Says the Chasam Sofer, Gevaldi Gevod. Avada realized he was in Ha Maria. Ha Maria came to meet him and he slept in Ha Maria. He knew that. Not that he knew. So what didn't he realize? We know Chazal tell us that Migdash Shomata is Mechiven Neged Migdash Shomala. That just like on earthly Beis HaMikdash, you have a heavenly Beis HaMikdash. And the heavenly Beis HaMikdash is opposite, is directly opposite, connected to the place of Migdash Shomata. Says the Chasam Sofer, when Ha Maria went to Choron to meet Yaakov, Yaakov even realized that Ha Maria had come to him, but he thought that only the earthly Ha Maria had come to him. What he didn't realize was that the Migdash Shomala, the Ochen Yeshem Ukim Azeh, the Ashuz Hashchina, which is a Migdash Shomala, also came along. That he didn't realize. He knew Ha Maria was there. He slept in Ha Maria. He knew. He went back to go to Ha Maria. That he realized. He didn't realize Ochen Yesh Hashem b'mukim hazeh, that the Migdash Shomala of the Shosh Shechina was there as well. And the reason why the Migdash Shomala came along was because of Yaakov Avini. Wherever Yaakov Avini is present, that's where the Hashosh Hashchina was. And this was the Madrega of the Chasam Sofer in Ishirum. There was the Hashosh Hashchina there, says the Chasam Sofer, like in the Beis HaMikdash. A Mukim Avshus Hashchina, therefore, as many people as was necessary could cram in to his room. So this was spoke a little bit, just a few, one or two details about the Chasam Sofer. I'd like to speak as well, not much time, about the Maharal. The Maharal Miprag, again, is one of our most great and most famous Gedolim and Mefarshim. Maharal wrote many, many Sforim on Halucha, on Gemara, but he's most famous for the Hashkofa. The Maharal in many ways is looked upon as the founder of Derech of Musa and Chassidus, because both the Gedolei Musa and both the Gedolei HaChassidus took heavily and relied heavily on the words and the Derech of the Maharal to explain us many, many important yesoides, and they later on elaborated and built on it. So much of what you hear today from various gedolim is all built on what the Maharal taught us, and he explained us how many things are supposed to be understood differently. I give you just a simple example. We all know b'shas kabulas haTorah, kofa aleihem hakegiges. Rabbi Yisrael picked up Hasinai and he put it on top of them. Kofa aleihem hakegiges. Everybody knows this Mamre Chazal. Comes the Maharal and he's the one to tell us, and he does this countless times, and this is typical of the derech of the Maharal. Comes the Maharal and he explains us that this Gemara, even it's supposed to be understood literally, but it's got also a non-literal explanation. What Chazal mean to tell us that B'shas Kabbalas HaTorah Kufa Aleihem HaKegiges means, as if to say, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam removed the Bechira from Klal Yisrael. You can only have a Bechira when the scales are even, when you've got a choice. B'Kabbalas HaTorah B'chol Ha'om Royim Es HaKoyles. Everybody saw. Royim Es HaNishma. They heard that says that it was. Everything was so crystal clear that the Yetzer Hara had nothing what to say. There was no two sides. It was clear. There was no shala whatsoever. There was no suffix. So nobody had real Bechira. Says the Maharal, this is what is meant when B'shas Kabbalas HaTorah Kof Aleihem HaKegiges. So Rabbi Yisrael held the mountain on top of them and said, be Mekabel HaTorah. It means it was as clear to them to be Mekabel HaTorah as if the mountain was on top of them. There's no other option. There's no other way forward. Later on, Ba'ach HaShveirush, that was a time of Hester. Esther Min HaTorah Minayim was a time of Astura. Then there was the real Bechira, that's Hodor Kibli Ma'avad. This is just one typical example of Avod of the Maharal. I want to give you another example, what the Maharal tells us. We know that Urin in the Mishkan is referred to as an Urin Eitz. The Urin Eitz, why? Why is it referred to as Urin Eitz? Because it had in it wood. Ask the Maharal, it's true the Urin has in it eitz, has in it wood, but it was two-thirds gold. The outer level was gold, the inner level was gold, just in the middle was a layer of wood. So Be'ik, it was two-thirds gold. So why is it referred to as an Urin eitz? It should be referred to as Urin Zof, not Urin eitz, it was two-thirds gold. Zug the Maharal, a gevaldi gevot. If I was to ask you, what's more valuable, what's more precious, a tree or a piece of gold? You would tell me a piece of gold. Says the Maharal, you're wrong. You know why? A piece of gold can never ever become more than it is. You have one bar of gold. Whatever the price of that bar of gold is worth, a ring, a necklace, whatever it should be worth, whether it's let's say £100,000. It can never ever grow more than it is. A bar of gold will always remain a bar of gold. But you have an eight, you have a tree, one tree. How much is this tree worth? £100. But this tree gives us fruit, gives us, let's say, apples. Gives us 100 apples a year, 1,000 apples, whatever it should be. You take those apples, you can plant them. And you can plant 100 trees, 1,000 trees. From those 1,000 trees, we'll plant another 1,000 trees. From those 1,000 trees, another 1,000. If you want to keep on planting and planting and planting, from one tree, you can grow millions and millions of trees if you want. It's something which is continually growing and growing. Zoav never grows. It stays what it is. Says the Torah, the Urin is taka two-thirds Zoav, but not that is the Chashivas. You know what the Chashivas is? That piece of wood. That's the Chashivas. The Urin Eitz. V'chaye oilom nuta b'secheini. Eitz chayim hi l'machazikim. The Torah is called an Eitz of Chayim. It's alive. Zoav is not alive. It's dead. It will never grow. Eitz Chayim, Torah is like an Eitz, of it's an Eitz which is an Eitz Chayim for those that hold on to it. It will grow and grow and grow. So this is two examples how the Maharal would take something and explain it and make it in a different light, something that we all now understand and all appreciate. A little bit, a few words about the Maharal. Maral was born in the year 1512 in the town of Posen. And when he was 15 years old, a shidduch was suggested for him with a chushuva rebbetzin. Her name was Perel, and her father was very rich. And the Maral was already famous, 15-year-old boy, as a gewaltige chushuva bucha. And they made the shidduch, and soon afterwards, her father lost all his money. And he became poor. When the Maral turned 18 years old, his future father-in-law wrote him a letter and said, "I'm sorry to tell you, there's no way in the world that I can afford to support you. I don't even have money to make the wedding. So although you became engaged to my daughter, but you shouldn't feel that you're mechuyev now still to marry her. And if you want to break off the engagement and marry somebody else, I will have no tanus because I can no way afford to support you whatsoever." Maral said, "Chas v'sholem, I will never do such a thing. But on the other hand, I myself also have no money, so I can't afford to get married either. So although I'm happy to marry your daughter, but if she doesn't want to wait for me and she wants to marry somebody else, she is entitled to do so." What happened was that neither of them got married for 10 years. For 10 years, they both stayed unmarried, waiting for each other. And after, she opened a bakery, the Maral's future wife, but she wasn't able to make money. And one day, a soldier was riding by on a horse, and he wanted to buy a bread. And he came to the shop, and he snatched the bread off the shelf. And she asked him, "Please pay me." He said, "I'm sorry, I've got no money. I'm just going to steal the bread." He said, "You can't steal the bread. I need the bread. I need to make money." So the soldier felt bad. On his horse, he had two saddles for some reason. He must have nicked one from somebody else. So he said, "Here, I'll give you the saddle instead." And he took the saddle and he threw it into the shop. And he drove off. He rode off. When she picked the saddle up, because he threw it in, it tore. And when she picked it up, inside the saddle, somebody had concealed a whole hoard of golden coins. The soldier hadn't realized. So with these golden coins, finally they were able to make the chasna, and she got married. And this was the Maral waited 10 years, and she waited 10 years for him. And then afterwards, they got married. The Maral had many famous talmidim. The Klei Yoker was a Talmud of the Maral. The Tosis Yontif was a Talmud of the Maral. The Shloah HaKodesh was a Talmud of the Maral. And many other Gedolim. Just one story about the Noid Behida is also buried in Prague. The Noid Behida, after he got married, sometime later, somebody came to ask him for money. He was marrying off his daughter and he had no money. The Noid Behida asked him, "How much money do you need?" So he said, "I need 300 rubles. 300 rubles was the exact amount that the Noi de Behida had himself received from his father-in-law as a nadun for after his chasna. So Noi de Behida went and he gave him 290 rubles. 290 rubles. Somebody asked later on the Noi de Behida, "Why did you give him 290? Why did you give him 300? So the Noid Behida said as follows: Chazal tell us, "Ein ha-mitzvah nikras ela al shem goimro." A mitzvah is only attributed, is only called on the name of the one who finishes it off. If I would have given the full 300 rubles, I would have could have felt afterwards, "Look what I did. I made this chasna. I paid for the entire chasna. I was worried that I might come to become a balgava. So I decided rather, I'm only going to give him 290 rubles. And because of that, I won't have any chashash later on of becoming haughty, of becoming proud." One of the famous rebbes said later on, it was because of this story why the Noid Behida was selected min ha-shamayin to become the Godol Hadoy. Because he could do such a big mitzvah, to give away almost his entire nadin, and to do it in such a way that he shouldn't feel that he has accomplished something, that he's the one who's done it all, and he held himself humble. So and that's chis. He was zoicha that Rabbein Shlalem chose him to become the Noid Behida who became. And the same thing with the Maral. He could have got married to somebody else. He could have found some other rich man's daughter. He didn't do that. He waited 10 years till he finally was able to marry his wife. And it would have been 20, it would have been 20. So because of these type of stories, that's who they became, who they became. The boy should have said, "Helfen, you should all go, l'chaim l'shulem, and davenwell, and poil al-zgit, for yourselves and for all of Klal Yisrael. Amen.